We're live from AgoraFest 2015 in Frontenac, Minnesota. The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast. This is podcast 416, the first of two podcasts from AgoraFest. What is an agorist? What is AgoraFest?
Is it a full moon night or is it? It's like almost a full moon.
This is a meeting of anarchists, and of course people want to know, how can an anarchist really organize an event or get together, and what actually goes on with this bunch of crazy people?
They're still inside Woodhaven, it looks like. But let's go to the bar first, okay? I wonder if Mises ever did karaoke. Probably not.
Lots of questions, some of which I'm going to try to answer in this podcast. One of the things that I think is lacking in the current political discourse on both sides of the political spectrum are ideas. There is an absence or drought among Republicans and Democrats when it comes to new ideas or building blocks for the future. And so the question becomes, well, where do you go to find new ideas or different even ideas? And this is where we get to AgoraFest. The people at AgoraFest would like to suggest the answer may not be in politics or even voting at all. And we're going to talk about that in podcast 416. Well, you've heard me talking about xgovernmentcars.com, and now open in Forest Lake is X-Government Trucks. And first of all, I want to tell you, X-Government Trucks opened in Forest Lake just this last weekend. And in fact, the first people to buy something at the new location were people who listened to the Bob Davis podcast. And Ed Johnson, owner of X-Government Cars and X-Government Trucks, and I want to thank Stephen and Melissa Erickson, who bought the ice blue Crown Vic from the Iowa DOT for their mother up north just to drive. And they said they've been listening to the podcast for a long time, and I really appreciate you patronizing ex-government trucks and ex-government cars. But here's the thing. First of all, the new place is open at 356 19th Street, Forest Lake. You can call them up there at 763-777-8782. And the new ex-government trucks Mega Truck Center features dozens of the best brands, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. Somebody up here at AgoraFest said, you know, I've been trying to figure out if you actually believe what you're saying about ex-government cars. Yeah, I've had three Crown Vics. Ed helped me find the mobile podcast command unit, which runs great and is great. And I think about people that go out and spend $50,000 or $60,000 buying a brand new Yukon when you could have an Expedition or a Yukon or a Suburban or, you know, anything that is one of these off-fleet lease vehicles from X-Government Trucks and save yourself a ton. Plus, X-Government Trucks has lenders for everybody at all credit levels. They get you approved fast. Find your vehicle, and then you apply online for the fast pre-approval. X-Government Trucks, of course, has the same three-day peace of mind guarantee that X-Government Cars has, so you buy with confidence, and as always, they love taking trades, highest values paid every day, without all the bull. So get out to xgovernmenttrucks.com today. They're at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, and you can also call them at 763-777-8782. You can also check them out online at xgovernmenttrucks.com or xgovernmentcars.com. And thanks, Ed, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. And thanks to Alpha Systems, digital sponsor of the Bob Davis podcast. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. If you're looking at an avionics package for your plane, you need to think angle of attack indicator, and you need to think Alpha Systems. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's FAA approved, and thanks Alpha Systems for being the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis podcasts. So yeah, AgoraFest 2015, held at the Villa Maria Retreat and Conference Center in Frontenac, Minnesota, right by Frontenac State Park. It is gorgeous down here. It's beautiful down here, especially in late September. There's an old main building here that looks kind of like Hogwarts. If you've ever been here, you know what I'm talking about. And as we work our way back into the woods, there are several cabins which look like they were built probably sometime in the late 70s, and some campgrounds and campfires and things like that. This is where the agorists are camped out. But this isn't a camp out with a bunch of people hanging out. This is you know, there's that going on, but there's also a lot of work going on. Most of it is conversational, all of it intended, even if symbolically, to presage the kind of world Agra spend a lot of time studying and thinking about, like the 3D printing exposition and bookstore, the goods and services that are traded here with silver, gold, and Bitcoin, as well as what they call fiat currency, in other words, dollars or euros or whatever your national currency is. And for the record, there are several kinds of anarchists from different parts of the spectrum of political philosophy. This group is primarily people interested in free markets and liberty with an eye toward personal entrepreneurialism practiced free of government intervention in any way. And they would be the first to ask, why have a government in the first place? Which these days, I think, is a really important question. And I think it's a question we should be asking a lot. I think it's a question that if we ask it, the answer takes us to the root of a lot of our problems, although I don't know that I would classify myself as an anarchist. For the record, there will be disagreements in this group about what it all means, which is the basis of this get-together, is having these conversations and learning. So first, let's talk to some agorists. First up is Juliet Nail. I like Juliet because she came from the left end of the political spectrum, but I'm going to let her tell you her story. I also like Juliet because she's an extrovert.
So my name's Juliet Nail, and I kind of started out, I had moved to California when I was like 19, and we had this nice voter pamphlet there that has all the candidates and the positions. I didn't know you were supposed to pick a team. So I would read the voter pamphlet, and I would vote all over the map. Democrat, Republican, peace and social justice, green, libertarian, I'd read it, right? My default was kind of voting for minor parties, but very independent. During the Bush-Cheney years, I definitely moved left. I was not okay with the wars, the way they were executed, and that pushed me left. So I caucused, after caucusing IP here in Minnesota, I caucused for Obama, okay? And then 2012 rolls around, and everything Obama said, and I caucused for him because he was anti-war and was going to end all the civil liberties abuses. Then 2012 rolls around, we still have, it's worse, and we're still dropping drones and killing people all over the world. So I caucused for Ron Paul. What Ron Paul said that did it for me was, you don't start with ending welfare. You start with ending wars and bringing home all the troops. And you don't pull the rug out from under people. You build the social infrastructures for a safety net.
Okay, so then how did you end up with a bunch of crazy people like?
So the anarchist? Because of the seeds were planted that you can't really change it in the political system. I was raised Catholic, but I've been a Quaker attender most of my life, all my adult life since 1989, and they have the peace testimony. So when I started listening, actually I came home from Quaker meeting one day and I Googled, because I'd gone to meetups with Nick Ludwig and I'd been intrigued, and then this crap happened in 2012. So I Googled Quaker anarchist and I found Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. And I started listening to Ben Stone and that pushed me over the edge. So I realized, so I kind of not become a Quaker because I couldn't quite, believe in, I like the idea of peace, but I'm a mom. I have a 20-year-old, and I know, don't touch my kid. I'm a mom. Don't touch my kid. So I couldn't be a pacifist.
So that's when you became a violent.
No, I'm not. No, because in anarchy, in the ANCAP philosophy, we have the non-aggression principle. So it fit in with my Quakerism, but it allowed for self-defense. So I like the non-aggression principle because it allows for self-defense. I can protect my mama bear. I can protect my children. But I'm not going to initiate violence. So that's why I landed here. I want to empower people, young people in particular, to move us in the direction of peace and freedom. So I don't care if you're communist. If you have a project that's moving us towards peace and freedom, I want to work with you. So I want to do college internships and help kids create journalism, video, audio. If they want to work on candidate campaigns, fine, but they need to have some justification that it's moving it towards peace and freedom to be my internship with Blue Republican, right? And then ideally we'll do, I want to move people to community solutions because the government isn't the answer. We've seen, so my whole thing, the disillusionment with the parties was power in and of itself corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So diffuse the power.
John Garrett was very involved in Minnesota politics for about 4 years, and he has the scars to show for it. Lately, he's devoted his efforts to putting out a book of collaborative fiction called Anarchy Rising. He expressed very well, I think, the idea of rejecting politics and involvement in mainstream politics in an effort to, I don't want to say create a community, but further the idea of a community that perhaps serves as an example.
Well, it was a great opportunity, a fun opportunity. I did meet a lot of people that I've kept in contact with here. Getting involved in a specific political candidate's pre-running, you know, I had several friends that were already involved in local politics, got me up to speed on what it takes to control a BPOU, to move people through the caucus sessions to the BPOUs, to the CD selections on into state and all that. So I was very familiar. Very successful myself in the gamesmanship of it, and I'm not even going to apologize for using that phrasing. So as a BPOU chair, I moved in as a delegate early on in the system, got into the BPOU chair position well before the caucuses, was able to help direct how those caucuses work, very, very aware of what the gamesmanship going on behind the scenes are. So for me, it was partly a disillusionment to see how early in the process people are already disenfranchised. I don't apologize for being a part of that, because if I wasn't a part of that, that was going to be going to the opposition. And so I was a BPOU chair through two cycles, delivered my delegates for our candidate in 2012, Ron Paul, of course, right. If in case anyone is surprised by that, and continued on myself, went through the CD selection to the state convention and on as an alternate delegate to Florida. So personally, I was very successful in playing the game and you know, manipulating the politics behind the scene, only to get to that final step and see how powerless I truly was. The manipulation that happens at the national level is nothing that we on a local level can even begin to fathom. It is so far out of the realm of possibility, you know, and I don't want that to sound like sour grapes at all. And I hope it doesn't, because we, as Minnesota delegates, were successful in supporting that candidate. But to just see how any sort of opposition was swept aside. And then over the years, having stepped back from a leadership role, I was still a participant. And then I stepped back from even being a participant. And to see the mail roll in from the chair of the Republican Party, these candidates that I've never once supported, aren't even in my district in any sense of the word, asking for money and time and thinking that I'm going to be enough of a stooge to continue to support that system. It was just something I couldn't do any further. I had already been writing books that were leaning towards a messaged book. With a writing partner of mine, who actually was a very engaged political activist as well. But he and I, at a certain point, had decided we want to move this in a direction where we're being true to our own vision of how we want to see the world, and the best way we can do that is through writing. And we saw, you know, political activism was a deficit to our time, and it was. It was a very conscious decision to say, what is the next step? How can we do this? And it wasn't as an individual. It was knowing that AgoraFest number 2 was coming up a year ago, and we were going to have an opportunity to speak to a lot of people that shared our visions, and that some of those people were going to be talented artists in different ways, and let's find those people that wanted to help contribute through writing. And it grew. It actually really grew organically. It was a great experience, because I did not come in with the vision of the anthology as it was. I came in with a vision of making a connection with other people that liked writing and wanted to share that message. And in a two-hour session, we had fleshed out this whole idea of doing an annual anthology of fiction, knowing that Entertainment is a great way to reach people, and that's really what we wanted to do. We wanted to find a way to not hammer people over the head, but to share a message in a very entertaining way. The disillusionment for me came from the idea that not only was the establishment changing the rules to block us in Tampa, but they were doing it in such a way that I had very excited people. I had people that I liked working with that were solid volunteers for me at the BPOU level, but they didn't grasp the fact that their vote ended right there. It made no more difference after that point. And the establishment encourages that mentality. The idea that if you can keep people engaged and they think that they're watching the polls and they're watching who their candidate is, they don't realize that if you're only 6 months out from the election, obviously that's well decided. If you're 12 months out from the election, it's decided. If you're 18 months out from the election and you aren't at your caucuses, it's being decided for you. And it's a myth that voting at any level beyond that, an organization beyond that, will end up making a difference. And it was a manipulation that I didn't want to continue being part of. And I'm not strong on the side of telling everyone to totally disengage if they are fully aware of what's going on. But it's the hidden agendas that really get to me, and it's the idea that people are being talked into all of this effort and all of this energy when the people a few steps ahead of them know that that's wasted energy. Think about what the calculation is. Think about what your opportunity costs are. And maybe politics, probably politics, almost certainly politics, are not the best option for you. You do something. It can be writing like I do. It can be, you know, editing and bringing an anthology together. It can be what Jordan Page does. I think if Jordan Page spent a second not sitting down and writing songs and performing for people, he would be wasting his time. His message, I've heard it over and over again. People that had no idea he was even going to be here this weekend were going gaga when they heard that he was going to perform. If you make your own honey, there are ways to put your energies into stuff. You know, market your stuff towards other agorists, towards other people that share your point of view. And I know it gets hard sometimes on those fringes, but there are a lot of people with a lot of things to say, and I just really am disappointed when I see them putting energy into a system that I think is just going to suck them dry, and then 3 years after they've tried to disengage, keep trying to suck them dry.
History demonstrates one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. Many continue to rent while waiting to purchase their first home or move up to their next home. Now, in the last 5 years or so, there have been many foreclosures and houses sitting empty for extended periods of time, and houses renovated by these fly-by-night house flippers. So there's a lot of risk out there. And to negotiate that risk, you need real estate professionals that understand the market. Now, interest rates have been near historically low levels for many years, and there's pressure to increase interest rates. In fact, there's still talk the Fed may increase interest rates at their December meeting. This is the time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home. I want to introduce you to prideofhomes.com if you're a listener and subscriber to the Bob Davis podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a husband and wife licensed real estate team. They're also real estate investors with expertise to share with you. So take a moment and talk with Eric and Aaron Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, throughout the North Metro corridor in Minneapolis and St. Paul. For real estate experience, Eric and Aaron Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com, 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. I've known Mark Johnson for years because of politics, and I just met Cole Anderson here in the bar at AgoraFest. And so under a full moon outside the bar, which actually is a tent, Mark and Cole talked about AgoraFest's and agorism's philosophical foundations and practices and about what they are actually doing at AgoraFest.
I consider myself an agorist, and I have, you know, probably for a couple of years now. I think an agorist is someone who knows enough about politics to realize that it's not worth their time and they should be doing something else. And coming to AgoraFest is what agorists do. It's how we exert our, our interest in meeting other people that are kind of like us, and collecting knowledge and information from them so that we can better organize our time and our lives to maximize value.
I think the practical aspect of agorism is getting together and finding value in what you do, and then using that value to help other people in exchange for their value. So whether that's value in the sense of a service or a good you can provide, or whether it's value in your knowledge, your ideas, all those different things have value, and it's the exchange of value in between two individuals, unimpeded by any external force, that is agorism. An agorist is someone that decides that they're not going to work within the system to make the system a better system.
Right. It's about counter economics is one of the big parts of agorism. So what we believe is that the current market, free market of the regular economy is not really free. It's loaded down with regulations, and you know, you've got to do this in order to appease the state, in order to trade with people your services and your goods. You know, it's just one of those things we don't accept. We don't believe that that should be necessary in a free society. So what we're trying to do is replicate what we believe should be a free society at this place. And you'll see that all over the place. We don't believe fiat currency, for example, is legitimate. And so people will trade with silver dimes, which are right now spot price, I don't know, $1.50. There's a lot of symbology with what we all believe, you know, collectively as anarchists, how we should treat one another as a society, essentially, which is kind of, you know, it is kind of contradictory as an anarchist, but you know, we also think that it's treating another as you would want to be treated. You know, we all want to be valued for, you know, fairly, and you know, doing that in terms that are real without coercion from the state is how we believe we should be treated.
Talk real quick about some of the ideas that you guys feel are building blocks for the future. And are you creating a movement here that becomes a bigger movement? Is this going to be one of these things where 10 years from now, guys are going to be standing around going, you know, I was here in 2015 and we didn't have any corporate pavilions then. You know, we were anarchists.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because what Mark just talked about, the idea of separating ourselves from the government fiat system, or just government systems in general, is really kind of the point. We're trying to, in a sense, take power away from the government by removing it from our lives as much as possible. And that includes the fiat currencies. We don't use fiat currencies, we use silver, and the main reason we do that is because we don't want the fiat currencies to control us. We don't want the government to have power over us through that fiat currency and through any other sorts of power structure.
So we talk about future, like electronic currencies, let's say.
Sure, electronic currency is one. Truthfully, I'm not a huge fan of the electronic currencies because I think there's some technical, there's no technical problems with it, but there are problems that are economically foundational. I believe in what's called Austrian economics, and a lot of us take to this idea of Austrian economics. And because of that, there are certain analyses done within Austrian economics that look at Bitcoin and all the other cryptocurrencies and basically take a skeptical perspective of those currencies for a couple different reasons. Now, the basic idea behind a cryptocurrency, the removal of a central power structure in the currency machine, is fantastic. That's one reason why there are a lot of people around here that will trade Bitcoins. And I think one of the great things about agorism and the Austrian economic principles and even libertarianism in general is there are so many viewpoints on all these different ideas. And we all come together, we all talk about them, we all have different perspectives.
Your first question, so you're asking, what is an agorist? Well, an agorist is one who subscribes to Konkin's beliefs. And if you read Konkin, you'll see what those are. Yeah, non-aggression, counter-economics, we don't believe in intellectual property, don't believe in voting. I mean, all of this gives credibility to the state.
a better word is the community that we're trying to build, a community in which every single individual decides on their own how much they want to contribute, and in return, they get whatever value they can exchange for that contribution. And so it's all voluntary. We're all trying our best to create a community in which we have these principles that we live by, and through those principles, we can create value for each other.
Right. Individually, we can create that community ourselves, and we recognize that that's the only power we have. We don't have the power to coerce anyone else to behave in any way that they don't find is appropriate. So when you say create a movement, you can say, yeah, we're creating a movement, but it's more organic than that. All of us are behaving on our own volition. We're all doing this because this is how we think that we should, act amongst one another. So you can't create a movement that's totally voluntary, because it requires force to create something like that. And I think that if people think a little bit more about the situation they're in their day-to-day lives and the amount they're being coerced, I think they'll start to see that we're right. And they're going to start to maybe, think about learning about more about Mises, more about Rothbard, more about libertarianism, more about, look at Carl Hess. I mean, Carl Hess was an anarchist. He was Barry Goldwater's speechwriter. For me, I read The Death of Politics, published in 1969 in Playboy, and that was the nail in the coffin for me. I said, oh my gosh, I've been wasting all my time in politics. I've been going to all these meetings. I've been trying to tell people how they should think, and I shouldn't have been there. I should have been doing my own thing. I should have been improving my own life, and I should have been improving the life of the lives of the people around me. Why wasn't I doing that? I can't believe I'm wasting my time. So this, to me, is not wasting my time. I'm talking to other people who know stuff about things that I don't know about. And I'm learning. It's all about self-improvement. It's all about being a better person, really.
Everyone has their own goals in this situation. Everyone in this entire place has their own idea of how they want to see the world behave, or how they want to see themselves in the next 10, 20 years. So it's not a unique, single-minded vision. It's many, many individual, separate visions of how the world should work, or how the individuals should act themselves.
My biggest question in politics in the United States these days regards the future. How do we build the next United States? Now, that's an argument or discussion that wouldn't make a lot of agorists happy around here, but it's what I'm thinking about as I walk around here. I think we're using a banking system that was last updated really in the 1980s. I think we're using a business model that functioned best in the years after World War II in terms of corporations. And I think we're operating under governmental concepts that are very, very old. Now, some of those concepts are good. Some of them are also not good. They're creating a more and more sclerotic system, a system that functions less and less efficiently every year and is eroding personal freedom and individual liberty every day, using arguments and ideas that are decades old, which will work less and less effectively with new technologies. Here's the thing. I don't hear people at the Tea Party meetings or Republican Party meetings actually discussing new ideas that might or might not work with new technology and new realities. And I certainly don't hear these ideas being discussed in the media. And people come to meetings like this and they go, what's actually going on here? This looks like a bunch of people hanging around and having a good time. But when you actually get into the conversations and listen to what people are saying, some of them are really, really, really interesting, and they're really playing with these concepts. And these are the only people I know that are actually looking and trying to find new concepts and seeing how they put them together and trying them in real space, real time. And that's what they're doing here. And they're having fun doing it. It's not a negative, pessimistic experience. They may have rejected politics and money and voting, but we would be well served to learn about some of their concepts, debate them, and think about what they actually mean. Now, it isn't all just discussion and deep discussion of all these different ideas. It's also fun. There is a thing called a spaceport, which founder of this meeting, Nick Ludwig, is actually very serious about, although he won't tell you that. So I took a little walk up to the spaceport to see what they were up to.
Counting down from five.
Hang on. Remember when you're ready.
Yep, hang on. Let's see.
Go ahead. Five, four, three, two, one.
Yeah, that one didn't go very high. That's going for tree.
Well, that was beyond exciting.
Oh, no, we got one that goes up like 600
feet. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That's a little better. Oh, yeah.
Kian, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thanks for listening to Podcast 416, the Bob Davis Podcast, live from Agora Fest in Frontenac, Minnesota. Thanks once again to Eric and Aram Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate. They are ready to help you out to negotiate the risk if you're looking to buy a house in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Champlin, Albertville, throughout the North Metro corridor in Minneapolis and St. Paul. For real real estate experience, you need to talk to Eric and Aram Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com, 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. And don't forget, ex-government trucks now open in Forest Lake. I'm going to give you the address real quick. It's at 356 19th Street, Forest Lake, or you can call them up there at 763-777-8782. Ex-government trucks. And thanks to the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast, Alpha Systems and Buzzlets, you're going to be seeing the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. Click on it and learn about a new long-range device that enables you to get your kids' attention without screaming and yelling at them and waving your arms. We've all been there. Doesn't matter whether you're at the water park or the hockey rink or the soccer field or down the street. Buzzlets is starting their Indiegogo campaign. It's going great, and they're looking for your support. Indiegogo's like Kickstarter, right? Check it out. Click on the banner, the Buzzlets banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page, and it takes you right to their Indiegogo page. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the digital side of the Bob Davis Podcasts. And thanks to you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes, the longest provider of the Bob Davis Podcast, largest and longest distributor. Thanks also for Stitcher.com subscribers and TuneIn and BlogTalkRadio.com. These podcasts would not be possible without all of you guys listening. And people say it all the time, but it's true. So thanks for the likes and shares on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. I'm BDavis7843 on Instagram. And thanks again for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts. I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee at Agora Fest. Thanks for listening to Podcast 416, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Well, of course not. We're all...
I mean, somebody... Two people have to get drunk and get in some sort of internecine...
There was a time, there was a situation where people got a little belligerently drunk.
Uh-huh.
So we had to suggest that they go to bed.
Wearing. Okay. They're actually like, and that suggestion was taken, honored.
It took a while for one of them to get the message, but eventually they all went to Betty Buddy.
What we had before was all of a sudden one of
Von Mises versus
Murray
Rothbard.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm sure it was Rothbard versus Mises. Who knows what it was? I don't think they knew what it was about.
Hey, hey, what's up? What's going on?
That was really amazing. I heard it from all the way over by my tent.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. How long are you playing?
I just started playing you. Maybe 4 or 5 months ago. My phone got that long ago.